practicing mindfulness during the pandemic and beyond. It goes without saying that these are really stressful times. Experts say we're grieving our former lives. We're worried about a dangerous virus. We're unsure of what the future holds. And we might be juggling all those stressors while caring for children, working from home, or not working at all. And then there's the difficult political climate to add to that. A growing body of evidence shows that practicing mindfulness can help in measurable ways, bringing down blood pressure, decreasing symptoms of depression and anxiety, even helping people cope with illness. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk with experts about the benefits of mindfulness and how to be more mindful in your daily life. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rooks. The benefits of mindfulness can range from weight loss to better sleep, but most of all, reducing stress. We'll learn how it's practiced and why it can be particularly helpful during these uncertain times. Joining me, Elizabeth Ross Holmstrom, who is founder and CEO of Mindful Employer, and Dr. Joe Dreyer, psychiatrist, retired from Maine Medical Center, and now affiliated with Global Primary Care Consultants. We invite your questions and comments. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. That is indeed a different phone number than the one for Maine Public's pledge drive. For Maine Calling, call 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to both of you. Dr. Dreyer, I'll start with you. I think people often have a vague idea of what mindfulness is. What is your definition of mindfulness?
Well, there are many definitions. I would say it's really attending fully to what is going on right now, what's in front of you, what you're feeling, whatever it may be, and intending to stick with being present in this moment while at the same time working to calm down your mind, helping you maintain that intention. So basically, be here now.
And a lot of people conflate mindfulness and meditation. It's not necessarily the same thing, correct?
Oh, no. You can be mindful while you're doing the dishes. The idea is being, if you're present with whatever's going on, that alone will help your intention of doing it right, but also calm your mind down instead of your mind flying from one thing to another.
Well, can you walk us through that? Let's say we're doing the dishes. How would one be mindful doing the dishes? What would you be saying to yourself? How would you be doing that?
So focusing on the project at hand, obviously you want to be thoughtful about picking up the dish, not dropping it, so you can notice the touch, the feel, the way your hand is working, the scrubbing of the dish, watching that go on. You might notice the bubbles. You might notice the change in the feeling on your hand and in the air. You notice your hand then going, reaching for the towel and getting the towel to wipe off the dish and then placing the dish wherever you want and then coming back to the dishes in front of you to continue working on. So you're just trying to be aware of each sort of step you're taking as you go. And again, it doesn't have to be a certain way. There are many different ways to do mindfulness. The big thing is don't judge yourself. The mind will want to run away from whatever you're attending to. And when you notice that, just gently bring yourself back to what you're doing.
Elizabeth Holmstrom, I want to bring you into the conversation. Your work deals with mindfulness in the workplace. How does mindfulness and work intersect during this pandemic? For so many people, work is different. And for the lucky people, work is different. For some people, work has gone away.
Absolutely. And what I'm hearing from people as I'm talking to people really on a daily basis is the stress, I would say the stress even before the pandemic and all we've gone through in the last year has been high for years. And it's even increased. And I think the mental state of mental well-being is really alarming right now. And the way I have seen mindfulness be extremely helpful is just helping people to look at their day differently, try and look at how their day is flowing and where they can possibly bring in, I use the word pause, because some people aren't comfortable with meditation, or even the word mindfulness can be a little bit scary to some people, or they might think that it's aligned with like a religion. And so it, in the workplace, what we talk about, and the research that I've done on this, which I didn't even know the word mindfulness 6 years ago, I was working in, you know, well-being with employees. And so back to what I was saying is the practice of noticing what you're doing during your day can be really helpful for people. And I think even now with the layering that's happening, you're trying to get work done. You're trying to make sure that your children, if you have children, are getting their work done in a remote environment. You've got people maybe around you that you never had before. And so we're finding that it's very helpful for people to find a moment or two to come back to themselves in the course of all that busyness, to calm their nerves.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Dr. Dreher, which is, give us some advice. How does one take a pause? Somebody, let's say we've started our workday, we've finished a couple Zoom calls, we have a to-do list in front of us. It feels overwhelming. How do you pause?
It's hard, and I struggle with it myself. And one thing that's really worked for me is thinking about the natural stops and starts in what you're doing in the day. So let's say you end a call and you're just about to jump on another one. And sometimes that can even mean that you're late for the next one because often a call might go over. And something that you can do in that moment is stop, take 3 deep breaths into your belly. Just breathe in, let the breath come out. Do that 2 more times, and then pick up and go into your next call. It is surprisingly effective in just bringing the pressure down so that you can then intentionally go to the next thing you're doing. You can also do that when you're going from a call to begin working on a project, or going from working on a project to maybe doing the dishes. That was a great example. So when you're moving from one thing to the next, 1 minute to take a few breaths is really helpful.
Dr. Dreher, some people might be listening to this right now thinking, okay, this all sounds a little, I don't know, ethereal, floaty. But there is research that backs up the benefits of mindfulness. Can you tell us about that research and what we know now that we didn't even know maybe 5 years ago?
Oh, there's all different sorts of research on this. It does seem to help lower blood pressure, can lower your heart rate. They have done what's called functional MRIs, where you can really watch the brain at work. And if you find somebody who is, I'll just say anxious, who's trained in meditation, and then you see the anxious mind, and then you see them when they slow down or are just focusing on their breath, say, and then pretty quickly the mind starts to slow down itself. And a lot of the centers of anxiety become muted. So the emotional well-being has been repeatedly shown in people who are using this tool in many different ways. It doesn't have to be formal meditation. I think the vast majority of folks, you know, it's informal in your everyday life when you're doing things, just noticing what you're doing. And I find it helpful to notice my emotional response to it. Am I liking this? Am I disliking this? And just sort of being wondering about, why am I having this response? But the research has gone into a lot of other things that it may be helpful for certain illnesses. Some early research, for instance, showed that it reduces the plaques from psoriasis for somebody who has a routine meditation practice. So it's amazing what things, not only emotionally but physically, has been shown to be improved with some kind of practice of awareness. Usually they do it with meditation, but I agree there's some people who don't want to do that. It's just being aware of what you're doing at that moment, what you're perceiving, and maybe a little awareness to your response and sort of wondering, where is that coming from? And you can often sort of talk yourself down by being aware of it rather than trying to ignore the emotional response.
Mm. Elizabeth, I was looking at your website and so many interesting facets to this, but one that really struck me was the connection to emotional intelligence, which I can only imagine must be so helpful in the workplace. Can you talk about that connection?
Absolutely. I believe that emotional intelligence begins with self-awareness. And self-awareness is exactly what we're talking about here. Is I think a lot of us live what I call above the neck. We live in our brains. Our brains are these thought-generating machines. And often we forget about the wisdom that exists in our bodies. Think about all of our senses, right? Our sense of touch and smell and you know, where our hearts are, you know, our intuition. We can feel a lot. We can get a lot of information in our bodies. And so when we begin to slow down and to check in with ourselves and we create these moments of pause, it allows us to stop what we're doing, and instead of just reacting because the information is coming in so quickly, we tend to want to quickly react. But when you're practicing self-awareness and mindfulness and emotional intelligence practices, you are bringing to your actions thought. You're bringing pause so that you can be responsive instead of reactive. And I love the word respond, because it implies that you have taken a moment to think about something. And we find that it really helps in that piece and moving from reaction to responding, and also in empathy, slowing down to, you know, be in better touch with yourself also helps you be more thoughtful often when you're dealing with other people.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about mindfulness on Maine Calling. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe talk about your own experience with mindfulness, call 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Dr. Dreher, I want to talk about the frontline healthcare workers right now. Under even more stress than society in general, I know that for years you worked with employees at Maine Medical Center, helping them incorporate mindfulness. What advice do you have to those responders and healthcare workers throughout the state and beyond who are dealing with such stress right now?
Well, that's a very true statement. Folks are really, really under the gun. I just want to reflect back on something Elizabeth just said, that one of the major benefits of mindfulness is moving away from reacting to what is happening to having a choice about how you react. So really choosing rather than just reacting is a major part of what you can gain from this. So the folks in the field, you're right, are really getting slammed, particularly frontline workers in the emergency room or on hospital wards or in offices around the state. People are getting saturated with medical problems that people have, and the number of people who are so ill and some die, it's just really hard. So a couple things. One is there are resources in the state for people who are struggling with this so they don't feel alone and can get some regrounding. One's called the Frontline Warm Line. It's available on an 800 number, and you can call, and they'll connect you with a therapist who can talk to you. On your own, there are a lot of ways to try and keep a little more perspective. This is a little hard sometimes to put together, but looking at what is good around you. One of the folks I work with had the term joy triggers, which is being aware of the things that you are happy for in your life. So pictures of family or quotations you really like or something else to move you into a quieter space for a moment before you have to dive back in. The other thing that's really important, I think, is teamwork, not being alone with these things, talking with your coworkers, talking to your employer about putting together some sort of support system. At Maine Med, they have some systems where there are folks from the pastoral care department who are on the wards and available to talk with people as they're just, you know, really struggling. Just a sense of being able to talk about it with somebody else and not being alone with it, and being aware when you're getting drawn out to find a point, and finding some way to back off for just a little while and talk with somebody else. It's hard to do because you're so rushed with so much going on. It's easy to feel like you just got to keep going. However, at some point, you become less efficient and effective if you keep doing that. So taking care of yourself is an important thing, as well as taking care of everybody else.
We are going to take a break for our pledge drive. We're speaking about mindfulness on Maine Calling. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Bull Moose, offering an option of curbside pickup on books, movies, CDs, or video games. Curbside pickup is available at checkout at bullmoose.com.
There's probably no better time in modern history than now to explore the practice of mindfulness, of experiencing the present, not the mad rush of thoughts and facts and loud voices that we see coming at us every day, but taking the time to experience the moment. I'm Keith Shortall, senior editor for Maine Public News, and I'm here with interim director of content, Susan Tran. Maybe for the hour, we can call you the interim director of content, just in honor of the subject. But it is a serious subject, and we just heard the guest talk about the importance of teamwork at a time of stress. And that's really what we're doing here. We're taking a few moments as a team to bring you onto the team to support this program that's really clearly a part of your daily life since you're listening right now. We know that that's true. And you can do that. The number is 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. As they say, self-care is healthcare, right? And now more than ever, it's a great time to be taking the time to focus on yourself, to focus on mindfulness, and you know. But we're actually here also to talk about the business of public radio for just a little bit before we go back into Maine Calling. You know, we're on the final day of our Home is Where Maine Public Radio Is pledge drive. And if you have not given yet, now is your time to shine. 1-800-866-1475. You can also use that number to text GIVE. If you text GIVE to 800-866-1475, you can also very quickly pledge your support of this community-funded radio station here in Maine.
Or at mainepublic.org. Just go on there. Yeah. There's a big red button. You really can't miss it. This is also a great time because you can make a difference during the pandemic. Hunger is an issue in the state of Maine. It has been for a while, but it's particularly right now. And Lee Otto will donate 50 meals to Good Shepherd Food Bank for every person who makes their first time donation, if you've never done it and you do it. So what a great way to leverage the support that Maine Public already has to increase the power of your donation to actually not only help Maine Public, but help 50 families or help 50 meals to Maine families who really need it at this time. Now is the best time ever to call 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. And you know, if you have already called during this pledge drive, we are so grateful for your support. If you haven't had a chance to call yet, this is a great time to become a new donor, or perhaps give if you are an evergreen, perhaps consider increasing your evergreen membership by $5 more a month, or giving out an additional one-time gift in recognition of the end of this monumental calendar year 2020. You know, if there's one thing that 2020 has taught us, right, it's innovation. And I'm sure that if you had told our tech team a year ago that we'd be doing Maine Calling from Jennifer's home, you know, at this point, I think they would have scratched their heads and said, how are we going to do that? But, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And, we've really had to rise to the occasion as an organization to make sure that we are bringing you, our Maine listeners, everything that you need to stay current on things that are happening here in the state, in the country, and around the world in this monumental year. And that is something that is worth your support. Won't you call now, 1-800-866-1475, or online at mainepublic.org.
We were social distancing at Maine Public Radio when social distancing wasn't cool, right? I mean, that's what radio is. We're not there with you physically, but we're with you, and we're giving you the information that you need to to know at any time in my career, we're also not only providing information, but correcting disinformation.
That's right.
Setting the record straight, which is really much more part of the job than it ever has been. And we're bringing sources directly to you. So we'll have Dr. Nirav Shah on, head of the Maine CDC, Governor Janet Mills. You talk with them directly or contact them via social media with the questions that you have. That's our mission here, and we need your help to do it. 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. And if you happen to live in Aroostook County, we do have an anonymous donor who is offering a challenge grant and will match all donations from listeners that live in Aroostook County this morning. You can take advantage of that wonderful offer and opportunity from your neighbor in Aroostook by calling 1-800-866-1475. Again, you can text GIVE also to that same number, 1-800-866-1475. You can also go online to mainepublic.org. We're going to go back to Maine Calling, but we will be here to take your calls while you're listening to the program. If you've already given, thank you. If not, please call.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today's topic, as Sue and Keith mentioned, is mindfulness. How and why it works and why it might help during these stressful times. My guest, Dr. Joe Dreyer, who is a retired psychiatrist, formerly with Maine Medical Center, and Elizabeth Ross Holmstrom, founder and CEO of Mindful Employer. We'll go to Adam, who's calling from Kingfield today. Hi, Adam. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make an observation, and then I'd love to hear what your guests have to say. I've been a practicing Buddhist for since about 2004, so obviously mindfulness is a big part of my life. And one thing that happens in my tradition is that in order to be able to teach mindfulness to new students, you are expected to do a 3-year retreat, which is basically, you know, 12 to 16 hours a day of practice for 3 years and 3 months. And it's kind of a recognition that that there are so many sort of things that can come up in mindfulness practice that you know, there that you need to be able to work with someone that really has deep experience with it. And so I really appreciate all of the sort of scientific studies that are being done on mindfulness. But I also sort of feel that, you know, it's important to also look at contemplative traditions and recognize the value of experience when it comes to sort of disseminating this information.
Elizabeth, I'll turn to you.
I completely agree. I actually come at this not from the deep Buddhist tradition, although I am practicing more today. I'm part of an insight meditation center, and I would call myself very much a newbie. I came at this work through studying the impacts of, you know, I had been working in the healthcare system and working on well-being programs. And what I realized was that all the things that I had been working on for 20 years was really working on the symptoms. And when I discovered these practices for myself personally, that's when I realized that they would have a big impact, you know, on a broader basis. And I often hire teachers to come in and to do the work to bring the deeper knowledge and perspective. And I also believe that we can learn from each other. One of the things that I love about this work is that it's called a practice. And so we're always learning from one another. I learn every time I'm with a group of folks where I might be introducing. I'm very careful to introduce based on my path and my journey. And then it's beautiful to learn from others who have different practices and different backgrounds to bring to this work, because each day or each moment or each hour, I'm starting fresh.
What would you like to add to that, Dr. Dreyer?
I fully agree that it's important, if you're going to use this in any extensive way, to be engaged in some sort of teacher-student relationship. And there are a number of those available in the area. One that comes to mind is what's called mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR. I know they're using that, for instance, at Maine Med and other hospitals to help staff deal with stress. It's really helpful also, if possible, to be practicing with another other people. Sitting on your own or doing these things on your own is helpful in day-to-day, but having a group you can work with gives you a chance to really, as was just said, learn other approaches or thoughts about how to do it. And certainly if you want to get into Buddhist practice, the depth to which you can take mindfulness to a whole different realm is quite extensive and very beneficial. I would also mention, just as an aside, that mindfulness is a very valuable tool, but it's not the only tool in people's toolboxes. So, you know, involvement in formal therapy, possibly if needed some medication, possibly yoga. I mean, that's a great mindfulness practice. All kinds of other ways to achieve a similar end, and I think using several of them together is probably the most potent way to cope with the current levels of stress we're facing.
We'll go to Joe, who's calling from Monroe. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Jennifer. I just wanted to bring into the conversation the physiological aspect that I've learned over the years as a respiratory therapist and as a manager in a respiratory therapy department, and that is the reason breathing is used as a focal point in many meditation practices is because it does something to your body. It aligns your breathing with your metabolic needs. So if everybody's got their own metabolic requirements, like kind of like fingerprints, and if you're not breathing to match the needs of that metabolic requirement, then you're going to be in a state of dis-ease. You are not going to be calm. Your nervous system is going to struggle for stasis, and you'll be unsettled. Once you practice meditation time and time again, it's a focal point that brings you back to your own rhythm, which then satisfies that metabolic requirement. And as soon as that happens, your body, your mind can move on to a relaxed state rather than struggling to find stasis. I've been practicing meditation for years now, both as a martial artist and practicing with a group at Orono. And I find that it does help, as the doctor said, to sit with people periodically, because a lot of energy comes into the circle, and it's amazing what can transpire that you don't experience sitting alone, although sitting alone is paramount as well. I think that's
Joe,
about all for now.
Yeah, thanks for your call. And Dr. Dre, your thoughts?
Oh, I think those are excellent points. Just learning different ways to breathe. A lot of folks don't use their diaphragm much in breathing. They use their upper rib cage. And if you incorporate diaphragmatic breathing, actually the use of the diaphragm is one of the things that promotes sort of a calming state. And particularly on the out-breath, it's the body's nervous system on the out-breath will engage a more calming state. In-breath tends to be a little more exciting. So being able to take longer out-breaths and really using your diaphragm can be very helpful. And again, everybody will have a little different style, but playing around with the way you breathe can be instructive in itself, just as, you know, being mindful of walking, how you're using your legs and your feet to, you know, walk along, going very slowly walking. That can be a very useful meditation. If you're in a job that doesn't give you much time to, you know, sit and be quiet between tasks, you can work on being mindful as you walk from one place to the other, just slowing down a little bit and feeling the way your body mechanics move and you're breathing with it. There's all kinds of ways to incorporate this. But I agree with Joe's comments that, you know, taking care of yourself and breathing well is one way to help your body unwind.
Yeah, and Joe, thank you for your call. Dr. Dreher, when you're talking about breathing with your diaphragm, you're talking about breathing like a baby does, right? Seeing your belly go up and down.
Right. One way to do this is to put your hands on your belly, and when you breathe in deeply, your diaphragm, they'll be pushed out some. And so one meditation you can do is just sit there with your hands on your belly and focus on your hands going in and out as you breathe. It's a good way to train yourself.
Michelle on Facebook writes, "My favorite mindfulness goes like this. If you live in the past, you will always be sad. If you live in the future, you will always be anxious. The path to happiness is living in the moment." Elizabeth?
Oh, I agree with that. And I would also add, being in the moment in Maine, one of the most profound ways that I've been bringing the practice into every day here in Maine is being in nature. I find that when I take off my earbuds and I just, whether I step outside into my backyard, if you're lucky enough to have a tree back there, or just being present in the moment as you're in whatever you're doing, it really calms you down. And one example that I use a lot is driving. So in the past, when I was younger, I used to, you know, I'd be in a hurry everywhere I was going, and I'd be right up, you know, like not tailgating, but close. And I find that when I back off of the car ahead of me and I have my radio off and I'm just paying attention to what's around me and being in the moment, I arrive at my destination so much more calmly. And that's just one example of being present that I found to be really powerful in my own practice.
If you'd like to join our conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can always post a comment on our Facebook page, tweet at Maine Calling, or send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. We're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a few.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, helping homeowners shut out the cold with air sealing, insulation, and window replacement services. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And by Lee Auto Malls, with a goal of donating 30,000 meals to the Good Shepherd Food Bank this November. Learn more at leeauto.com.
Being present in the moment, breathing. Did you find yourself practicing breathing a few minutes ago while listening to Maine Calling? I have to confess, I may have been doing a little diaphragm work myself.
Me too.
I'm Keith Shortall, senior editor for Maine Public News, and I'm here with interim director of content, Susan Tran, for just a few minutes during the program to urge you to show your support. You're probably a regular listener to the show, admit it, and that's great, and we thank you for that. But we come to you once in a while just for these opportunities for you to, well, take action. And that form of action is in the form of picking up the phone, typing in your code or your thumbprint or whatever it is that requires, and calling 1-800-866-1475 to show your support for Maine Calling and any of the other public affairs programs here on Maine Public.
That's right. There are many ways to describe 2020. As we prepare for Thanksgiving, though, I'd like to focus on the positive aspects of 2020. And I think that one of the most positive things that we've seen is that we're all in this together, especially here in Maine. You know, and Maine Public is here to bring the whole community to you. We're here to tell Maine's story, to humanize the headlines, and to find the truth. And no matter what's happening in the world or in our state, Maine Public Radio is here to bring you the news and information you need and to have the conversations that you need to have, whether they're, you know, kind of big conversations about, you know, politics or the environment, or if they're conversations about how to take care of you. Maine Public Radio is here for all of those conversations, and especially during Maine Calling every weekday at 11. And that's radio that's worth supporting. So won't you pick up your phone and text GIVE to 1-800-866-1475, or perhaps go online to mainepublic.org to show your support of this important community radio service here in Maine.
Maine Calling in particular is also about human stories, bringing people in. It's a two-way conversation, and it's an opportunity to hear from people. And you're talking about personal stories and I guess the human side of what we talk about as news. I was listening this morning on a morning edition, and there was a StoryCorps segment with Dr. Anthony Fauci, yeah, and his wife, mm-hmm, Dr. Christine Grady. It was just a beautiful, intimate, personal moment. The kind that's shared on Maine Calling as well. We have a show coming up on the best advice you've ever gotten or given. And we're already getting comments in the inbox from people that are just really personal and intimate. And that's really what these forums are about, as much as about news and information and nuts and bolts and just the facts. There's a human side to that, and that's what we're trying to touch through this programming, 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. That's right. And we have a few challenges this morning, a few opportunities for different types of giving. If you are a resident of Aroostook County, one of your neighbors, an anonymous donor from Aroostook, is offering a challenge grant and will match all donations from listeners who live in Aroostook County. I mean, that's an amazing gesture, and it's a gesture we're so grateful for. And, you know, so if you are in Aroostook County and you've been thinking about calling, now is a great time to make that call at 1-800-866-1475.
And another way to fully leverage the generosity of one of our big supporters in the community, which is Lee Auto Mall. Lee Auto is donating will donate 50 meals to Good Shepherd Food Bank for every person who makes a donation for the first time today. So they're a brand new donor. Every time someone does that, maybe that's you, you're listening right now. I'm talking to you. If you do that now, 50 meals will go to Good Shepherd Food Bank, thanks to the generosity of Lee Auto. They're a corporate supporter, and it's great to lead by example. You know, they're sort of saying, hey, we'll do it if you will. So now's your chance to take advantage of that generosity. Leverage those 50 meals if you're a first-time donor, 1-800-866-1475.
That's right. And, you know, there is no time like the present to show your support for Maine Public Radio. If you've had an okay year, if 2020 has been okay for you, consider you know, maybe an additional gift or increasing your Evergreen membership to help pay your donation forward to someone else who hasn't had a great year. You know, it's everybody's bringing something different to the table, and if you are able to bring a meal for someone next to you, then that would be that would be a great time to call. 1-800-866-1475 is the number to call or text give. You can also go online to mainepublic.org. And thanks.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. Today on our program, Being Mindful in Your Daily Life. Our guest today, Elizabeth Ross Holmstrom with Mindful Employer, and psychiatrist Dr. Joe Dreher. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Sienna calling from Newfield. Hi, Sienna. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if the doctor happens to know of any programs that assist with mindfulness in the incarceration system here in the United States, and whether or not mindfulness then could not be utilized as a method to assist inmates that are affected by traumatic brain injury as a method towards rehabilitation and or reform.
Dr. Dreher, do you know of any programs?
Yes, there is one, and I'm just trying to remember its name. But basically, they train people at several different levels of training to go into prisons and run mindfulness groups. I know they do that here in Maine, and the program is I don't remember its name, but something like Prison Mindfulness. If you Google it, I think you'll probably find it. So they do some really good work, and I've heard of some positive outcomes from it as well. It's entirely voluntary for the prisoners if they want to participate, but some folks have really begun to understand what they can do in their own behaviors that will be more skillful when they get out. There was a web blog or something some years ago called Doing Time, Mindfulness, something like that. There may be a link to this. I would also just mention that people with traumatic brain injury, it may be helpful for them. I think it would be. However, it should be part of a more comprehensive treatment plan because that, can emerge in so many different ways, different symptoms, and B, is a much more complex thing than simply focusing and calming your mind. But again, I've seen some folks make some really good progress when being involved with mindfulness as part of a treatment program.
Sienna, thank you so much for your call. Elizabeth, I want to ask you about this. A lot of people have mentioned so far the power of being in a group and learning this from a group. Well, obviously, during the pandemic, a lot of that is not possible. But I have read that mindfulness apps are on the rise, selling like hotcakes, very popular. I'm wondering if there are any that you have used or recommend.
Absolutely. I actually use them daily. A couple that I've been using, 10% Happier with Dan Harris. He's got Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics. It's kind of his work, and he has some, you know, excellent teachers that are available on that app. Actually, one of the local teachers from our Insight Meditation Center here in Maine, Alexis Santos, has been has some work on that app. Insight Timer is something that I use. They have some beautiful soundscapes that are available that can help you sleep and help you just focus or be calm. Calm, C-A-L-M, is an app, and Headspace is another that I have a couple of our clients use. So there are several options that are out there. There are also some groups, so you can kind of Google this. I know Facebook actually has some. There are people getting together using Zoom and practicing together. It's not the same as Heartbeats in the Room, but it's really beautiful to see other faces while you're doing this. I do that. I do sessions with clients. We bring in teachers to do that. So there are a lot of different options out there for being together. And there are some live things through each of those apps as well that you can click on to join in on live sessions.
All right. An email here from Amy. I am a physician and also a mother of a child with very significant special needs. Since she presented with these issues, I have grown my own mindfulness practice, which consists of yoga and seated meditation, but also mindfulness while dog walking and running. I listen to my breath and I feel the wind on my face as I walk or run. These practices have helped me deal with the challenges of my career and with my responsibilities as a mother. My mindfulness practice has also helped me tremendously in my practice as a physician. I feel much more able to deeply listen to what my patients have to say. Dr. Dreher.
Oh, that's a great story, and I'm really glad to hear it's helped her. There have been a lot of trainings going on for specifically physicians to be able to do what's called mindful practice, referring to the practice of medicine. And there was a book that came out several years by Jack Kornfield. No, I'm sorry. Ron Epstein. Ron Epstein wrote a book about just that. And I think this is becoming fairly common throughout the healthcare field, not only for physicians, but with nursing staff and everybody else, to really be present with the patient, which is hard and really busy day. But if you can stop yourself and be there with them, not only will the patient benefit, but so will you. So I commend her for that kind of work, particularly given all the other challenges she has as well.
We have Adita calling from Blaine. Hi, Adita. Go ahead.
Hi. My favorite mindfulness technique the one I enjoy the most is petting my cat and making eye contact. You can also do it with dogs, of course, and being totally in the moment and accepting of what's happening in the moment when I'm with my pet. It helps me to be able to do that when I'm with people as well.
Adita, thank you so much for that tip. We're going to go to Carol in Cumberland. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks so much. What a wonderful topic. I do meditate. I meditate every day in my way of guided meditation. But I'd like to remind folks, because I know that sometimes, even now, even though I'm a regular practicer, if you will, is that sometimes I think I'm not doing it right. I can't get this. And, you know, I know that I've gotten far enough along and done it long enough that it's okay. But I'd like to just suggest that the folks that aren't going to do the apps or the things is that just taking, you know, a moment and sitting quietly, if you can find a quiet place. Maybe it's before you get out of bed. Maybe it's when you're just sitting drinking your coffee. And just take a deep breath and be quiet. And it doesn't have to be formal, and it's not going to be perfect.
Thank you, Carol. And I've heard you chuckling, Dr. Dreher.
Yes. It's a common thing for people who are trying this out, is they try it and it doesn't work, and they say, well, I can't do this, and they give up. And in fact, the mind is going to wander. I mean, if your mind doesn't wander, it'd be really unusual. So the fact is, when it wanders, you say, oh, there it is, it's gone there, notice it, and come back to your breathing, or come back to whatever you're focusing your attention on. It's the norm. And not judging yourself is a key part of this practice. This is not something you can be graded on. It's entirely yours. And as you work with it over time, you'll find it easier to stay a little bit more focused. One trick that one of my teachers gave me was give your mind something to feed on. So if your mind wants to be busy, well, then get a mantra like, may I be well, or may I be happy and content. And you can just sort of gradually repeat that as you're breathing in or out, or any phrase that gives you, you know, a sense of peace. And that will give your mind something to focus on and maybe help it from running around so much as you're gradually developing the practice. Just a quick other mention. The book I was referring to by Ron Epstein is called Attending, and it's really designed for practicing physicians. And there are many other books out there that folks can look at. But if you're a doctor or a nurse, you may find this a very handy book to look at.
Carol, thank you for your call. I'm going to go to an email here from Kristen. I want to take a moment to draw some attention to some problematic themes appearing in holistic wellness communities in the moment. Several widely followed leaders in the field of mindfulness and embodiment are now promoting the discredited cult-like thinking of loosely organized groups like QAnon. This is quite far-right rhetoric, and please be aware these themes have crossed over into far-left circles as well. I would like to remind folks who are seeking guidance on the subject of mindfulness to please be mindful and to think critically before taking advice from these seemingly trustworthy sources. Elizabeth, is what Kristen's saying, does that ring a bell with you?
I have to be honest that no, I haven't seen the far right or left examples of that, but I'm certain that it exists. I absolutely agree that if you're practicing and if something doesn't feel right, like trusting your instincts, the kind of weaving this back to the earlier piece that we were talking about is that everybody's going to have different ways of practicing, and the most important thing, and the way I think we can get away from some of maybe the negative or the extreme media or articles that might be out there about it, is that really all we're doing is being calm. We are trying to just steady, connect with ourselves, and provide kind of a safe place in all of the chaos by letting our minds drift for a bit and just centering in with ourselves. And so I find that to be pretty indisputable in all of the work that I've been doing with people is that that could cause harm. Although there are certainly, you know, things out there that maybe start with the actual practices and go places that could be negative. And so just, you know, be aware. Absolutely.
Well, we're almost out of time, and I want to apologize to all the callers who are waiting. I know that Jason wanted to talk about Tai Chi, an email here from Paul talking about self-guided meditation videos on YouTube. He says Deepak Chopra has several great ones, and he's also done terrific videos with Oprah Winfrey. So great advice. Dr. Dreher, in just a few seconds, what would be a closing thought for all of us listening today?
Anybody can do this. It will be done in various levels of time to be able to learn this practice, but it's something you can do there. And very informally, just mention a recent piece of research found that seniors who go for a walk in the woods for 15 minutes a week and pay attention to what's around them are emotionally in a more stable state after doing it for several weeks. So
wow.
It's easy.
Well, thank you both for joining us. The voice you just heard, Dr. Joe Dreher, a psychiatrist formerly with Maine Medical Center, now affiliated with Global Primary Care Consultants, and Elizabeth Ross Holmstrom, founder and CEO of Mindful Employer. Today's sound engineer, Sandra Harris. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Ocean View at Falmouth, an active retirement living campus proudly supporting Saturday Afternoon Opera, which airs tomorrow on Maine Public Classical, and by Dead River Company, committed to keeping Maine's homes and businesses warm and proud to be part of celebrating Maine's bicentennial. DeadRiver.com.
Give your mind something to feed on. Just a piece of advice from the final segment there of Maine Calling today, the program on mindfulness. I'm Keith Shortall, senior editor for Maine Public News, and I'm here with interim director of content, Susan Tran, just for a few minutes here in the last part of this show to urge you to show your support for this program. It comes to you every weekday. It's probably a part of your daily life. And here yet another example of how you can take care of yourself, how you can focus to keep your monkey brain from running away with the day and setting yourself up early in the day to be prepared to handle all of the incoming noise and information, good or bad. The number 1-800-866-1475. And Susan, this is a great opportunity for folks who either have never been members or live in a certain part of the state.
That's right. Let me tell you about that. Our good friends at Lee Auto have offered to donate 50 meals to Good Shepherd Food Bank for every person who makes a donation to Maine Public for the first time today. So it is a great reason. If you haven't given yet and you are a new member, it is a great opportunity to pay it forward with your first time donation to Maine Public. Also, if you live in Aroostook County, one of your neighbors, an anonymous donor from Aroostook, has offered a challenge grant and will actually match all donations from listeners who live in Aroostook County. So if you are in Aroostook, please call. It's a great time to have your dollars matched dollar for dollar. And you can do that at 1-800-866-1475. If you'd prefer to use your smartphone, you can just text GIVE to 800-866-1475.
I work closely with the Maine Calling team. I was the first host of this program way back when, but I work with host Jennifer Rooks and our intrepid producers, Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn, as they put these programs together and research the topics and find and vet the guests. And the one question we kind of ask every day as part of that process is, why this topic and why now?
Good.
And while, of course, there's been no lack of subject material, to say what you will about 2020, there's lots to talk about. But all of that noise has to be organized into intelligent conversations with focus. And that's really kind of the mission of what Maine Calling has been about. Show your support for this team of journalists and producers. 1-800-866-1475.
That's right, or online at mainepublic.org. You know, thinking about today's mindfulness topic, it made me think of one of our thank you gifts. So we have these amazing Maine Public branded lounge pants, which I have called Zoom pants and evening glass of wine in front of the fire pants and watching masterpiece pants, but they could also be mindfulness wellness pants. And they are available Evergreens who pledge at the $20 a month level, or for a one-time gift of $240, you can go online to mainepublic.org to catch an image of them when you are making your pledge of support. But they look like they'd be very comfy to meditate in. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
1-800-866-1475.
Mindfulness pants. I like that.
That could
go somewhere.
Trademark.
And, you know, after Maine Calling, of course, throughout the rest of the day, we're providing services throughout the day via the news department, including the CDC update at 2 p.m. This is where we learn the latest about what's happened in the state of Maine, what the trends are, and what you should do to prevent the spread of this virus, and also to be responsible during the course of what we anticipate will be, you know, really could be a difficult holiday season for some people who want to see their friends and loved ones, but really can't for the reasons that we're all familiar with. But you need the information. You need to know what the case counts are, where they are, how the transmission is happening. This is all the kind of thing you need to in order to be a good citizen, but also just to stay safe. If this is important to you, the kind of service that we provide, 1-800-866-1475.
And just a reminder, you are listening to listener-supported Maine Public Radio. WMEA Portland 90.1, WMEH Bangor 90.9, WMEW Waterville 91.3, WMED Calais 89.7, WMEM Presque Isle 106.1, WMEF Fort Kent 106.5, WMEP Camden 90.5, and of course, online at mainepublic.org.